I gave an example of a woman who went and prayed. They told her they were going to amputate her feet. And she went and prayed. And when she prayed, the scripture she got was that the Bible says, the Lord is thy confident, and he will not suffer your foot from to be taken. So she got that. Now you can take that scripture, two ways to do it. If you think in those scriptures, or that scripture you have eternal life, then you are trying to use the scripture to produce the healing. The second is that you can see that the scripture testifies of Jesus. So now, who is Jesus to you? Jesus, you are my Lord. Christ, you are my healer. You are the one that has suffered not my foot from being taken. You have kept my foot, all right, and not allowed there to be an amputation. So, hear what I'm saying. Because it is the first time in your life you ever heard that word, the Lord is your confidence, and he will not suffer your foot to be taken. Are you following me? He never heard that word before until you went to him and he gave you that scripture. It means when you are coming to Jesus, you are singing a song you've never sang before. Do you get what I'm saying here? Because the song is true. The Lord, my confidant, who has not suffered my foot to be taken. Do you get what I'm saying? We'll get to it. That's why David said, I prayed, and the Lord heard my cry and inclined unto me, and he has given, all right, me a new song. We'll see that. That God showed David something, and then David sang a new song to God. So in my private worship, personal worship, what I do when I sing, I don't sing any song we sing publicly. Not once. I construct my songs. But because I'm not a composer of music, I don't know how to arrange sound. So I take an existing song and change the lyrics. So when we say, give thanks with a grateful heart, then I now change it to the name of the Lord by which I'm calling him. Are you following what I'm saying? And then I begin to sing. And I cannot remember that song tomorrow. In fact, the great songs, people will come out and say, this song came to you. It's the testimony of Jesus, the God, that they are singing to. You understand what I'm saying? So let's look at it here. So what happens is, God gives us his word. We now go to meet him on the basis of his word. All right? So the mistake we have made is that by affirming and reaffirming the word alone, the situation is going to change. But the revelation of scripture produces heart belief, which opens the door of communication between us and the Lord that now makes the divinely imparted possible. In other words, when I get a revelation of scripture, my heart believes. That opens a door of communication between me and Jesus. And as I communicate with him on that basis, then he wraps his arms round about me, all right, as we are there worshiping together, and he transfers into my life without any knowledge of mine, without my own knowledge there. He transfers into my life the substance of that word that I came to meet him with in worship. So when I come out of such deep interactions, I'm carrying the presence of God that manifests that in, all right, within my life. So it says, I'll say this here. The life and substance of that word gets imparted into you. Faith, therefore, is not intellectual, it's spiritual. It is not our ability to count something done, believing that when we come to believe that it is done, then it will happen. But it's a deep consciousness, divinely imparted into a man that is done, which means God imparts it into you. As you come and you meet with him, he transfers something into your life. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 31. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, so they believed based on a word. The woman with the issue of blood believed based on something she heard. Said, if you continue in that word, which means you don't allow anything on the outside to discourage you, you continue. Then are you my disciples indeed? And then you will come to know. That word is know. The way Adam knew Eve, an interaction that is total, and Eve conceived. He's saying you will come there and know Jesus, and something will be conceived. All right? So you are staying with his word so that your time of worship and praise will be effective. You are there confessing. So when you approach the throne of grace there and you are worshiping God, it's from a full assurance of faith. So you come to know Jesus. And as you interact deeply with him, he passes into your life, even without your knowledge, the substance of that thing. He says, you shall know the truth. And he says, the truth is a person. Jesus said, I'm the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, the truth, that person shall make you free. So you shall know the truth. So the woman with the issue of blood came and made contact. Now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He says, greater works are going to be done. So you make contact with me at the right hand of the Father. The way into that place has been opened through the blood. I give you my testimony in the scriptures. You carry that testimony to me. We interact on the basis of that testimony. I pass the substance of what you have seen in the scriptures into your heart. You come into the earth and manifestations begin to occur. They ask, at what time did the situation begin to make amend? Instead of making amend after you made that deep interaction with Jesus and you continued with it there. And we've got to understand this. I said this during the seminar. Let's assume God is here and he's magnetic. Let's take his anointing as magnetic substance. And then this is you, steel. Now, if you put a steel object on a magnet there, and you keep rubbing it and keep rubbing it, the steel object here, without any effort on its part, by way of interaction, becomes magnetic. Are you following what I'm saying? Without it knowing, if you put it around, all right, other steel objects, it begins to magnetize everything. But it doesn't have to know. Moses, when he went to God, when Moses came down, he was glowing. Moses did not know. It was the people that told him, you are radiating glory. In other words, as you interact with God. Now, the more you stay there, knowing Jesus, the more powerful you'll be in demonstrating what you saw in the scriptures. That's why they said of the disciples that they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. That this is the effect of a rubbing off. But what happens to many times is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. It says that they are ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth. So they keep hearing the word of God and keep getting the testimony of Jesus. But they never come into the knowledge of the truth. It says, with such people, verse 5, they have a form of godliness, but you are not going to see the power in their life. So if you ask them, they have a form of godliness. What they have learned, if they talk about it, it's a form of godliness, right? It's a religious form. But the power, because it comes by contact, and that contact has not been made. That's why we all have to be worshipers. And we all have to be private worshipers before God, taking the knowledge of God's word that we have in personal and private worship, and going within the veil and singing and coming in contact literally with Jesus and having Jesus put his arms round about us. That's why if you do that, you get life. If you don't do that and you are just holding on to the knowledge of scriptures, what you have is the knowledge of truth. If you come to him, you get life. So in the garden, there were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge there. You eat from one, just get to know the scriptures, then all you're going to have is tree of knowledge. What are you going to do with that? Knowledge of good and evil. You become judgmental and critical. This one is right, this one is wrong. This one is right, this one is wrong. That's what happened to the Pharisees. Jesus was feeding from the tree of life. So when they came to Jesus and he healed somebody on the Sabbath, They said, you have broken the letter of the law. Now, Jesus knew more than them. But Jesus did not argue on theological matters with them, because he said, it's about life. He therefore asked them, I said, I will ask you a question. He said, if your ox falls into a well on the Sabbath, will you go after it? They said, yes. He said, so what you are saying is, it's Sabbath day. If your daughter falls into a well, you will jump after your daughter. He said, the only reason why you think this person therefore should not be healed is that you don't know the relationship between God and this person. You know the letter of the law, but you don't understand relationship. Because you with your animal, you won't allow your animal to die because of relationship. Are you saying that God's relationship with people is less than your relationship with your animal? That's all he was saying. If it's your son, you will lay down your life for him. You will jump in before thinking. He said, so, shouldn't this daughter here be released from something 18 years suffering? So it's about relationship. A person that goes up to the tree of life understands everything in the light of your relationship with the Father. Somebody on the outside, the tree of knowledge. So, look, God is not giving us scriptures to be arguing with ourselves. He's giving us scriptures as testimonies of him so that we carry that. That's why I don't believe in all this, you know, people are criticizing and arguing. I don't believe in that. You take the testimony of Jesus and you go to Jesus and you interact with him. And Jesus passes that substance. We have made it hard when he wanted to make it easy. Because in hardness, we've given people the impression that is by when you are convinced that something will be done, it will be done. But he says the testimony is to bring you to a place where you interact. You won't even know when he passes the thing into your life. You come out of that place with a deep-seated assurance. That's why he says those that interact with God like that will be strong and do exploits. The reason is that when they interact that way, all right, God passes something into them. When they come out, there is strength. They look at it as something normal because there's been a rubbing off. They say, well, we're going to do that. Other people around say, there's a big leap. Why is that? I said, no, we're going to do that. Because God has passed his substance into the lives of those people there. So the testimony of Jesus is to be taken in to the place of worship there and praise. And then there's that interaction that occurs. A classmate of mine since kindergarten. Now, I said that because a prophet should not have honor in his country. Among. So just to show that it's for real. Kindergarten, we've known ourselves, went same primary school and secondary school. He wrote to me on Facebook. He said, we are watching. He said, my wife has had intense pain in her knee. And we did everything. But as we began to rejoice in Christ our healer and began to thank God, by the time we came out, we weren't even thinking of getting healed. She just realized after 30 minutes that she was doing things she couldn't do before and the pain was completely gone. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means that something entered into her as she was. The difference was that she was using the knowledge to try to bring herself to a place where she would believe she was healed. Now she realized that the knowledge gives me her to believe, that opens a door of communication between me and Jesus, where I can now sing my song to Jesus in the capacity as the healer of my knee. And if I sing that way and interact with him that way, and I enter into him and I'm lost with him, worshiping him based on what I have seen here, by the time I come out of this, he will have passed the substance of healing right into my knee. And that's what happened. All right? I mean, I've said this testimony before, how I got delivered from smoking. But you know, that's why sometimes when people tell testimonies, you should be careful, all right? Because they might misdirect you with the testimony. Okay, because they might not know how God did it until some time. So, I realized, I saw what happened. I was struck. First of all, I tried to stop smoking. And I struggled with it and could not stop. So I knew that wasn't the way. So I said, let me use faith. So I started declaring I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Well, after about 2 to 3 weeks, one day I woke up And this was University of Lagos. And I came down from Marie Hall, and I walked past the Malam, all right, for 3 days without thinking about cigarettes. Now, before that, what will happen is that I will look at the cigarettes and say, I'm now born again. Oh. 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 And then you see a Christian brother, then you, oh, all right. Then you check, you know, like seven, nobody's around. So you go there. So then it just occurred to me that I don't waver. So when I finish smoking, I will confess I'm a new creature in Christ. But after some time, 2-3 weeks, everything disappeared. But I just realized what must have happened. That when I would spend time worshiping God, I must have been worshiping him, thanking him, I was completely free of cigarettes. And what happened was that in that way of worshiping him, with the testimony of his finished work, that I'm a brand new creature, that he was made to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made a righteousness in him. That the Father was in Christ reconciling the world, and I wasn't there when he reconciled me back unto himself. And I was worshiping him for that level of reconciliation and thanking him that he justified and raised me up and seated. The grace there was imparted into my being that manifested itself in my flesh. So the testimony of Jesus brings us to a place where we can fellowship with Jesus. And when we fellowship with Jesus, he transfers the substance. Now let me just close with these two scriptures to make it more practical. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. So you know what happens? Every truth that is inside you is yearning to be expressed in worship. Do you understand what I'm saying? As you're seated here, every truth God has given to you about yourself is yearning. This is what the Father is looking for. To yearning to be expressed in worship. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct your steps. Now, to trust is to surrender your will to allow someone act on your behalf without being afraid and having misgivings. In other words, when I trust in the Lord for something, I've said, Lord, you can act on my behalf. And I don't have any misgivings, neither am I afraid. So, if you were to go somewhere, very important, and there are two places that you need to go, very important, and the value of both of them are very high, and you can't be at the two places at the same time, somebody says, can't you send somebody you can trust? Then what are you doing? You are thinking about the person you can trust. And let me tell you, you think up to primary school day. If you have 6 friends, are you following what I'm saying? All right? You remember that this guy has lied to you 16 times. You say no. What's happening? You have misgivings here. You are afraid. You'll be afraid if you send that this guy that did this. So what you are doing is you are going through to find the person that you can send, all right, that will stand in your place there, and you'll be praying in tongues at the back. So to trust is to surrender. So God says, surrender, have no misgivings or fear. I'm going to work on this particular situation. Then he says, next thing he says, lean not on your own understanding. And that is, wonders against personal opinions that may bend towards human reasoning in decision making. Because he's going to tell us to do certain things. So in all of your ways, acknowledge. That word acknowledge there is the same word, know the Lord. All right, interact with him that way. And then he says, he will direct your path. So when he transfers the substance to you, he gives you direction. You come out knowing what to do about the particular situation. Let me use Hezekiah as an example. God came to Hezekiah and sent the prophet, said, tell Hezekiah to put his house in order. He is a dead man. Hezekiah knew God. He had interacted with God. So he knew, you know, when somebody, if you know somebody, somebody can say something, and somebody that knows the person says, even though he said it and it sounds final, I know him. You can change his mind if you do this. All right? Advisement, no. Don't just, you know, give him 3 days and then don't say this or say this. He will change his mind. Because, all right, they know that person. So the person asks you, when he said it, how did he say it? Did he say this? Yes. Ah, he's not going to change his mind. Right? So when God said, you are dead, Hezekiah heard and said, I know God. The way he said this one, he is not saying it with all finality. So he turned and faced the wall and started reminding God of their covenant. Before the prophet left the house, God said, go back, tell him 15 years. They came back and told Hezekiah 15 years. Now look at what Hezekiah did in chapter 38. Hezekiah, therefore, Isaiah 38. Hezekiah now said something. He said in verse 18, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father of the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. So that readiness, he saw it in the word that came to him. Therefore, we will sing my songs to string instruments all the days of our lives in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs, lay it for a plaster there upon the boil, and he shall recover. So God told Hezekiah, 15 years will be added. Hezekiah went to God, praising him and worshiping him for that. Then the voice of God came to Hezekiah, telling him he was still sick, what he should do to get well. Get the figs, boil the figs, place it there, you will recover. So a person is in business. God gives them a word. You will break forth on the left and on the right. And he saw that. Then he says, the Lord is ready to save me. Therefore, I'm going to sing. And he enters and begins to worship God, that his business has broken forth to the left and the right. And as he enters there and interacts with God, then God whispers, for what you saw in my word to come to pass, in this business, go into this area and emphasize this for the next 6 months. And then it comes out. What God said to him cannot be found in scripture, but he used scripture to get to that voice. But it is in that voice that there is manifestation. Are you following what I'm saying here? For Joshua, God said, you are going to take Jericho. Joshua was there. He must have been wondering. He could have been confessing, Jericho, we've taken Jericho. God has given Jericho to us. But then the Lord appeared. And he said, who are you? And he fell down and worshipped. And then in worship, the Lord said, take off your shoes. He took off. He said, you know these Jericho, walls of Jericho, you know how they're going to come down? Go around it 6 days. On the seventh day, blow the trumpet. It will all collapse. So God gave him his voice there. And then he went and implemented that and it worked. So as we worship and interact with Jesus, the voice of God comes to us, direction concerning that thing, right? It becomes clear in our heart. You see this promise I gave to you that you came to me with? This is how it is going to work in your life. Do these things this way. Don't open your office in that building. Open your office over here. It doesn't make natural sense and it doesn't follow human logic, but that is what God says. A person that doesn't have the voice of God will take the written word and say, wherever the soles of my feet tread will be mine. Enters the wrong place and is quoting scripture. Do you get what I'm saying here? While somebody else takes that, worships God, and God directs him, and then he goes into that place, and then suddenly things just begin to blossom. So we should stay with the written word of God as our guide, long enough in the presence of God in worship, singing and worshiping him. It's not just a church thing. The Bible says the Father seeks that. That's what he's looking for, right? That's what the Father, Jesus, don't think Jesus said the Father seeketh. He said he's seeking for those that worship. So you come up and worship him with the knowledge of the word that you have. And what he does, he transfers it into your life. He gives you direction. He tells you, just whispers it to you. Do it in this particular way. You do it, all right, that particular way, and results come. So you might do things that are scripturally correct, but prophetically wrong. Do you get what I'm saying here? Which means that in the currency of time here, That's not the step to take. The only way you are going to know is intimacy with Jesus. The scriptures don't work by themselves. They introduce you to Jesus. It is Jesus, the person, that walks in and through you to fulfill that particular thing. And so as you worship, he communicates that. And this worship is somewhere you shut yourself and you just stay there and worship and worship. And God passes that across to you. You come out with his grace, with his power, with his anointing in your life. And then you begin to effect things. And people come out and say, well, what is this? And they say, this is that. They look like drunken men. Says, but this is that, which was written in Joel. But the form of its appearance is different from the way it was written, because you've processed it and you've gotten the voice of God on it. And God has whispered to you and you've effected that, and the massive change has occurred in your life. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. By the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.